Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Glad you're with us today, and we're turning to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we praise thee, Lord, that we can come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee, Lord, that through that name we have an entrance into the very throne room of heaven itself. And Lord, as the scriptures declare, we are but dust and ashes in the sight of a holy God. And yet through that name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the merit of his blood, we praise thee, Lord, we can come right into the presence of God. And we praise thee, Lord, that thou hast bidden us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we're in no greater need than when we come to look at the scriptures of God. Help us, Lord, to have reverence for this book. Help us, Lord, to realize that it is the living word of God, a word that liveth and abideth forever. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us ears to hear it, give us hearts to receive it, And Lord, give us an understanding, Lord, that we may know today what the Lord will speak to us. And so we pray that thou wilt be with us now and bless us in thy presence. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We're turning for our scripture reading to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. First epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and commencing our reading at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. We're going to sing that lovely hymn, Would You Be Free From Your Burden of Sin? There's power, power in the blood.
Thank you.
Scriptures are filled with gospel texts, verses that simply and clearly define and expound the gospel in a single verse. That's why they're called a text. Probably one of the most familiar ones is John 3:16, and it may well be that you could quote it. Maybe you learnt it at Sunday school, you learnt it at your mother's knee, but you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that verse in just one sentence encompasses all of the gospel. In fact, that verse, John 3:16, Martin Luther, the reformer, described it as his little Bible. If you had nothing else, you had all you needed to know that you were a sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die, and if you accepted and received him, you'd be saved forever. And there are many gospel texts, and they show us particular different things about the gospel. More emphasis on this aspect of it and more emphasis on the other aspect. But put all together, we have a wonderful picture of God's wonderful salvation. Now, my text today is another such text. It covers the very essence of the gospel. But here there is specific emphasis on the atonement and how Christ took our sins and bore the punishment of them. You'll find it in the early part of verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And with this in mind, and with that text upon our minds, for the text is more important than the words that I will say, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins personally. He bore our sins personally. Without a sin bearer, there can be no salvation for any one of us. Someone to bear our sins, someone to take our sins, to take them from us. For my friend, without our sins taken from us and removed properly, we have no hope of heaven. So who is it that is our sin bearer? Well, it's speaking of who his own self is, speaking of Christ. It's speaking of Christ who is the Son of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, another title of Christ. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't become God when he was born in Bethlehem. He was the eternal Son of God. Before there was a world, there was a Son of God. Right back in eternity past, there was never a time when Christ did not exist. Yes, he took upon himself that permanent form in Bethlehem of a man, but he always did exist, and he always will exist as the Son of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Not only do we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but this sin bearer is the Creator. Again, back to John's Gospel, chapter 1, all things were made by him. So if you want to know who particularly in the Trinity that the work of creation is attributed to, it's to the Son. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Who spoke, let there be light? Is it not the Word of God, the first recorded words of God? And of course they come from the Son, the Word of God. Not only the Creator, but the Sustainer, Acts 17:25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know, something that we don't often think about, but something that is absolutely true. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the stars in space. But when we bring it right down to a personal level, he holds our next breath in his hand. You can be sure of the breath that is in your lungs at this moment, you can't be sure there'll be another one to follow. The Lord, seeing he giveth to you all life and breath and all things. So we need to be careful, very careful what we think of Christ. But before we move on, this sin bearer was the one we had wronged. Though many sins are committed against our fellow man, we never must forget that all sin is ultimately a a transgression of God's law. You can wrong your brother, you can insult, you can injure those who are around you, but remember, all sin is ultimately against God. And as sinners and breakers of the law of God, that puts us as the enemies of God. And yet this one who is our sin bearer is one who came to die for his enemies. To take punishment for friends is one thing, but to take the punishment of those who are our sworn enemies, my friend, that's love. There's a lot of talk today about, and people complain about the wrath of God. My friend, the love of God that would send his son to die for his enemies, you and me, that is love beyond description. Look at what he is. Look at the sin bearer's characters. Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. A wonderful description of Christ here. And he's a high priest. Now, the high priest had two functions. One function was to offer a sacrifice on behalf of his people, the people he represented. And the second one was to intercede or pray for them to God on their behalf. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is not high priest. He is our great high priest. Over Aaron, over any of the high priests that existed in the early economy in the Old Testament, here is Christ, the great high priest. He didn't offer an animal sacrifice. He offered himself. Not only did he offer a sacrifice for the people he represented, he prays. When he has died on the cross, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and the Bible teaches us that he ever lives to make intercession for us. For the child of God, wonderful, wonderful thought, before you got up today, Christ was praying for you in glory. Before you prayed today, and I hope you did, and even if you didn't, Christ is praying, has prayed, and will continue to pray for you. And going back to that verse in Hebrews, it describes him as harmless. Christ does not harm any individual. No one could ever say he did me wrong. And you know, there are people in this world and they come over this phrase, I never did anybody any harm. My friend, can I caution you that such an expression is nothing short of blasphemy? You say, well, that's a very strong word. It is a strong word, and I mean it. Because, my friend, there was one man ever in the whole history of time that never did anyone any harm, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, don't you dare. I caution you, don't dare to take upon you what only the Christ of God can say. We're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we harm day and daily all those who are around us. Harmless, undefiled. Now, Adam was created perfect, and Eve, but then they sinned, and then through their sin plunged the whole of mankind into sin. We're all born in sin because we're of Adam's sinful race. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world at his incarnation, he was preserved from all original sin. He was the sinless Son of God. By an act of the Holy Spirit of God, he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, but preserved from any taint of sin. He is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled. He is separate from sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not make sinners his natural company. And yet you say, oh, well, the Lord Jesus Christ did speak to sinners, and he did. He was in the company of sinners. Yes, he was. But I want you always to remember his purpose in doing so was to speak to them, was to preach to them, and to save them. He didn't meet along with sinners in their houses to act like sinners. He didn't meet with them in the street or in their places of entertainment just to be like them, because he was so different from them. There are many people and they say, oh, you have to be in the world and you have to be like the world in order to win them. No, my friend, you follow the example of Christ. Your only errand amongst the world is not to find your entertainment with the world, but it is to win the world for Christ. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Does he not at this moment in time sit at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven? Notice how he bore our sins in his own body. Here's the very essence of salvation. Here's how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself the form of man so that he could suffer, so that he could die an atoning death for sinners. You know, there was a lot of things done to the Lord Jesus Christ that are recorded in Scripture by men. Nailed to a cross, hands pierced, crown of thorns. Those wounds did not take away our sin, nor could they. Nothing that man could do could take away our sin. It did prove the depravity of the heart of man. It was what happened in the 3 hours of darkness when the Father rained his wrath upon his Son. That's the atonement. That's when he bore our sins in his own body. When we became sin, he became sin for us. And bearing our sin, the righteous Father was obliged by his justice, was obliged by his righteousness to pour his wrath upon his Son. And willingly he hung there for 3 hours. While the world was shrouded in darkness, no man could take part in what was the essence of redemption, the essence of atonement. When Christ paid our debt to the Father, he bore our sins in his own body. Where did he bear it? On the tree, the cross. Now, the tree or the cross is the place of the curse. Deuteronomy 21:23, he that is hanged is accursed of God. It was the ultimate punishment for sinners. Those who had committed the worst of crimes were hung in a tree. Now, to be hung in a tree was a terrible thing, but it had significance. They were put up from men. In other words, they were rejected by men. But of course, they weren't in heaven. They were between heaven and earth. They were in what you might call no man's land. Neither in heaven nor in earth. Rejected by men and rejected by God. Can you not hear those awful words of Christ from the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the Lord Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, and our sins, as our sin bearer, our sins were laid upon him. He didn't commit any wrong, but our wrongdoings and the guilt of our sin was placed upon him. And so the Father was obliged by his righteousness, obliged by his justice, to pour his wrath upon his Son. He had to turn his back. The Lord Jesus Christ had always the smile of his Father. I always do those things that are pleasing in his sight, he said, and it was true. He always had the smile of his Father in a relationship that you and I can't fathom at all. But my friend, when it came to the cross, your sin and mine placed upon the heart of Christ, the Father had to turn his head away. And what terrible, terrible suffering that was. But I want you to notice, he bore our sins personally. But he bore our personal sins. Yes, Christ bore them personally. He did the work himself. But he bore our personal sins. See, God deals with sin. He deals with it judicially, but he deals with individual sins. It's not just as if, well, you're a sinner and there's some sort of a token and that'll make you right and you can go to heaven. Every sin that you and I have ever committed in thought or word or deed must be completely and absolutely atoned for if you and I are to be innocent and ready for heaven. So he bore our personal sins. For all of those who are saved today, if you, well, you can't, and I can't remember all the sins I've ever committed, but every one of those individual sins Christ was accused of, because it was placed on him at the cross, he was accused of, found guilty of, on our behalf, and suffered the appropriate wrath of God. Sin for sin. Could you imagine how long it would take to bear? And hell is the only proper judgment for sin. He had to bear our hell for every sin until every sin had been extinguished. And then another individual. My friend, there is no telling the suffering of Christ. There's no telling what he endured for us, but he endured for every single sin. There's a wonderful gospel hymn, probably one of my favorites. The chorus goes, "It is well with my soul." But the third verse, I contend, is probably the greatest verse of any hymn in the world. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." My friend, that captures the very essence of this text. He, his own self, he personally bore your sin, your individual sins, and the punishment of them, and mine. He bore our personal sin in his own body on the tree. He suffered the rejection of God the Father, that we might have his smile and that we might one day be with him in glory. My friend, he had to die. Without his death, there is no atonement. It is not anything to do with what man did to Christ, but is what Christ endured at the hand of his Father that procured our salvation. May you come to him today. Father in heaven, we praise thee for thy word. We praise thee, Lord, for a sin bearer, one who personally bore our sins. We thank thee, Lord, for one who bore our personal sins. And we praise thee, Lord, for those who trust thee. We praise thee, Lord, that every sin is forgiven and we're ready to meet the Lord. Save today, we pray. May men call on the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.